Thursday, the 27th of December, the first staff meeting, Rabbi Daryl Katz.
First and Lifway Dasania, I'm very grateful to the organisers of Start the Day of the Torah Week for asking me to participate and to join in this illustrious rota. I have to say I'm a little bit nervous because according to the poster, I'm somewhere in the middle of the River Nile. And so I feel that I've been thrown into the deep end a little bit. However, I see that I've got Rabbi Zachariah Jacobson and Rabbi Moshe Cohen on either side, so hopefully we'll be able to swim to the shore in safety. The title of today's presentation is called The First Staff Meeting, which is a hilarious pun on the meeting of Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush at the Sineh, and being that I'm a teacher by trade, so that title came to mind, the first staff meeting. However, before we go on to the main point, I just want to, by way of introduction, the Torah stresses the whole way that the anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu, who's an onav ma'od mikol adam, who's a very humble person, and it's interesting just thinking perhaps we can say, where did this anivus come from? Where was it? Where did he learn it from? And perhaps we can say, because the parasha says, "Vayelech ish mi beis Levi," a man went from the house of Levi, "Vayikach es bat Levi." And Chazal asked, what means "Vayelech"? Where did he go? So Rashi brings that "Vayelech ba'atzat bitoy." He went according to the advice of his daughter. He took his daughter's advice and remarried. He married Yecheved after he was Megarasha because of the Gezeres Paroi. So his husband and wife who take the advice of their daughter and they remarry, and this was the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. So little wonder that Moshe Rabbeinu had a tremendous role model in Anivus, in being able to take advice from people who are younger, even your own children. So now we move on to that Moshe Rabbeinu is now by the bush. He's the shepherd of his father-in-law, and there's a whole conversation taking place over here. Chazal tell us, Rashi brings, that it took at least a week for Hashem to persuade Moshe Rabbeinu to take on the leadership of Klal Yisrael. He kept refusing. So the pasuk says, the pasuk says, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu as follows. Vayam Moshe Vayome, and Moshe answered. This is part of the whole argument. Vayome Vahin lo yaminu li. The Yidden will not believe me. They won't take any notice of me. It's not for me. This job is not for me. And Hashem said to him, what are you holding in your hand? I'm holding a staff. Hence the title. Throw it to the ground, Vayishlicheu Arzo. He threw it. Vayila Nochosh, it turned into a snake. Vayonos Moshe Miponov, and Moshe had to run. It was a real snake. Vayoma Hashem El Moshe, Shlach Yodacho, stretch out your hand, Ve'echos Biznovoi, and grasp hold it by its tail. Vayishlach Yodacho, Vayachazet Boy, and he grasped it and he squeezed it. Vayila Mater Bekapoi, and it became a staff in his hand. So, the few words which I would like to say, Bezos Hashem, is a paraphrase of Reb Samson Raphael Hirsch on his, because what's going on over here? Why should the Ribbono Shel Olam ask Moshe, what's in your hand? And then he has to answer, it's a staff, and then throw it to the ground, it turns into a snake, and then he has to get hold of it again and grasp it. And Reb Samson Raphael Hirsch says as follows, because Moshe Rabbeinu appears to be saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I know the limit of my koichos. I know how far I can go, and this is simply a bit above me, beyond me. I can't do this. This is not possible for me. Please ask somebody else. So Hashem says, Ma zeh biyadecha, what are you holding? What's the question? He could just say, take the staff and throw it into the ground. Why do you have to ask, Ma zeh biyadecha, what are you holding? So he says, to ask, Moshe Rabbeinu should stop reflecting. He should start thinking. This is more, it's like a rhetorical question. What is your staff? What does your staff represent? What does a person need a staff for? And b'derech klal, a staff, a stick, represents a person's koichus. Yet, if you're a shepherd, you need to be able to give the sheep a little poke, and etc., etc. Teachers of old used to be able to do the same, and we will go there. And so, it's part of you. It's an extension of your hand. Ad kadekah, that if a person needs a stick on Shabbos, you're allowed to use a stick because it's part of you, it's an extension of you. And to this effect, that we see the whole idea, some of us may have heard the Queen's speech. I don't know whether she was sitting on the throne when she was giving that speech, but when they have the state opening of Parliament, so the Queen sits and she holds a scepter in one hand and she holds an orb in the other. What does a scepter represent? Why do kings and queens hold a scepter? We see Ahasuerus, the Shavit HaZahav. What does it represent? A scepter represents that even though I, the king or the queen, I'm sitting in this chair, don't think that the limit of my power is just in this room. No. My scepter stretches much further. I'm much more powerful than you can actually see here. My power extends much further.
The commonwealth,
and which is shrinking rapidly. perhaps you have a telescopic one, and it opens and closes. And in her other hand, she holds an orb. Now, why does she hold an orb? Because an orb modestly shows the British Empire. I'm holding the world in my hand. The trouble is there's other kings and queens also holding an orb in the hand and with a scepter, and that's where the battles begin. So we see that this is the staff that a person carries. It represents, it shows power, authority. And that's why sergeant majors have it under that, and they can give somebody a poke, etc. And even in Parliament they have the mace. I don't mean the Chevra Kedisha version, but they have the mace on the table there. That represents the authority of the Queen, even though she's not there. So if you're an MP in Ukraine, you can still, you're all right. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu Azoy, you think that you know the extent of your ability? What's in your hand? The staff. Oh, you think you know that you can control your staff? Throw it on the ground. And it turned into a snake. To show Moshe Rabbeinu that you don't even control what you think you can control. Without Siyata Dishmaya, the staff which you think you can control is the MS a snake. Is the MS very dangerous for you, and you're not under you don't master it at all. On the contrary, it can master you. But with Siyata Dishmaya, if a person has Ribbono Shel Olam to help him, Echos Biznavoi, grasp it, take hold of it. The very thing that you're afraid of, just take hold of it, then it became a staff in his hand. To show you that with Siyata Dishmaya, a person can control even that which he thought he can never could. The Ribbono Shel Olam is helping you. So, to sum it up in a few words, without Siyata Dishmaya, we control nothing. We can't do anything. With Siyata Dishmaya, then we can accomplish those things which we never even thought that we could. And it's interesting that even though after this we see Moshe Rabbeinu still argued, but Rashi brings that wasn't because of Koichos anymore, that was because he didn't want to offend his brother Aaron. But the point was made. want just to sort of bring this up to date, and this idiom, to bring this mashal up to date, what would we consider our staff today? I would imagine a person's staff today is his car. And I remember very clearly we were driving up to Gateshead for a family chasana, and I was saying to her, you know, we had all the children in the car, and I don't know if the young man here remembers it, but we were driving, the children were very young, we had everybody with us, Kanan Horst, a car full, an estate car. We're driving up on the M1, and I said to my wife, this is having a very nice journey, you know, and yeah, I'm holding my matter, this is my matter, I'm in charge here. All of a sudden, the back tyre burst, and the car began to skid over three lanes of the motorway, backwards and forwards, side to side, and I saw in the mirror all the traffic trying to avoid us. And all of a sudden, the matter became a nochosh. And Vayonos, I wish I was somewhere else, obviously with the family as well, not just myself, but and all of a sudden, this is a nochosh. Yeah, the matter became a nochosh, and to show that the MS were not in control of anything at all. And just in the preparation of the Shia, it came to mind, we learned this in history in school, in going back to my Leeds days, we learnt about the Titanic. The Titanic, the name itself suggests majesty, impregnability, invulnerability. It showed in its time, in 1912, it was the Rolls Royce of all the ships, and it was meant. The word went round, and I think it was. I can't remember the name of the line who built it.
Cunard.
Yeah, they put it round that it was an unsinkable ship, invincible, etc. And some I remember reading that it took 2.5 years. It took 2.5 years to build, and it took 2.5 hours to sink. It's recorded the captain of the ship was a gentleman called Captain Smith. And it's reported, whether he did say it or he didn't say it, but the comment went round when a passenger came on and they said, is this ship safe? And the captain or one of his crew answered, God himself could not sink the ship. And so talk about Koifi Vaitim Yodi Asa Asachal Hazer. Yeah, if that's what you think, if you think that you're in charge over here, then Ribbono Shel'Olam has got his ways and means. I hesitate to say the following, but it's a picture which we all saw. I'm not sure how many of us were around when the Cunard went down, but we certainly, most of us were around in September the 11th, when the Twin Towers, and we saw, because what did these Twin Towers represent? They represented the matter. This shows man's what is a skyscraper? A skyscraper represents man's mastery over his environment. The Shtickel Geiver, it's not only just space, it's also to show man's mastery over his environment. And we saw the pictures, how those twin towers became two Nechoshim, and Vayonos Miponov, everybody was running away. So we see that the more we put our trust in ourselves, then the more dangerous it is. The more we put our trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam, the safer we are. And Taka, actually, the safest little building that the Yidden have is a sukkah. The Beis HaMedrash. Yeah, we're sitting under the shadow of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the strongest structure, because the more we put our trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam, then the more the Ribbono Shel Olam is there to help us. So it just occurred to me that I would like to extend this concept of the matter of Moshe in two ways. One way which we're familiar with, and one way which I think might be a chiddush. It certainly was a chiddush when I came across it. I think that one could possibly say that when we ask Ribbono Shel Olam to help us in all our actions, because now we see from the matter of Moshe that we can take nothing for granted. Everything is in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We need to ask Ribbono Shel Olam to help in everything that we do. And there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch called Shekol Kavonas Adam Yulashem Shemaim. Everything we should do should be for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Be'emet, it's two sides of the same coin. If we realize that everything that we have is from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we need the koiches of the Ribbono Shel Olam to do anything, then it turned the coin round, and we have the kavanah of the person to be the Shem Shemaim. I need the Ribbono Shel Olam's help to accomplish everything. From the Mela, when I do anything, however large, however small, I call upon the Ribbono Shel Olam to help me. And the Mela, our actions become more the Shem Shemayim, because even the mundane things, the things which we think we can accomplish easily, like tying shoelaces, brushing our teeth, etc. Yeah, the fact is, we need the Ribbono Shel Olam's help in order to accomplish these things, and therefore it becomes easier to do them the Shem Shemayim. And there's a big nafka minna whether one does something in the Shem Shemaim or not. This is just the little sort of avenue I want to go down just for a few minutes, as much as the time allows. And we have a study in contrast in the Sedra. And this the next few words are based on the Sefer Nachalas Eliezer, which is written by Rav Hizkio Eliezer Kahn, the previous Manal of Gateshead Yeshiva. And he says as follows: Vayokom Melech Chodosh al Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yodas Yosef. There arose a king over Mitzrayim, a new king who did not know Yosef. So Rashi brings the Machloikas: was he a new king who Taka didn't know the history? Although it's difficult to understand. You know, most people remember the previous prime minister. I remember the story of Azeda who told his Einikel, you know, when I was in school, history was my best subject. So Lehenikul said to his aide, I'm not surprised, because when you were in school, there hadn't been much history yet. But so therefore, we have the other pshat, that he wasn't a new king at all. He was an old king, but he had new ideas. Yeah, he made out, ki'ilu, he never knew Yosef, never heard. He pushed Yosef out of his mind. So what happened? So the Medrash says that when the Mitzrayim perceived that the Yidden were becoming a threat to Mitzrayim, they were Vatimalei Oritz Oisam, they were afraid there was going to be a bit of a takeover bid over here. They said, Havon Nishakmaloi, and Paro said, no, under no condition. We ate from Yosef, how can we show, how can we be Kofu Toiva to Yosef? We're only here because of him, and now we're going to repay this by treating his people badly? No way. The Mitzrayim said, okay, off the throne. And Yitzhakel came down off his throne for 3 months. And after 3 months, he became throne sick, and he decided he must have his job back. And that's when he came up, Ilu he never knew Yosef, he came with new ideas. Masha'en came, when he said to the midwife, and he said, he said to midwives, when you see the when you come to do your job to help them give birth, Rizal of Noim in Ben Hava Mito Noisoi, the Basi Bachoyo, Vatireno Hamayaldois Esa Olekim, the Loy Osu. They also refused. But the Pasuk stresses that they did it because they feared the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's interesting, says Rav Kahn, the Pasuk says later that Vayihi ki yoru hamiyadois es olakim vayas lahem botim. It doesn't say because they saved the lives of the Eden. It's because they feared the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what was the difference between the miyaldois and Paroi? They all started out with the kavana, that we can't harm the Eden. But Paroi changed his mind, and the miyaldois were willing to see the thing through, even if it cost them their lives. The answer, says Rav Kahn, to teach us when a person does something in the Shem Shemaim, it gives him consistency. My koyach has come from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I'm not potter. I'm not exempt from seeing the mitzvah through till the end, because everything that I am and everything that I do comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why it's interesting that we see that they were called Shifra and Pua. Now the Bemis were not called Shifra and Pua, they were Miriam and Yecheved. So why were they called Shifra and Pua? Because Shifra is the Lashon Meshaperes, to beautify, and Pua is a Lashon of Poya, in order to calm. They calm the children, they calm at birth, and they, or the mother, and they beautify, they clean, they cleanse, and they say what a beautiful child you have, etc. So why would they call that? They should have been called, you're talking about saving people's lives. Should be called what? Chava, like Kihi Hoisaim Kol Chai, or Chava, or Hatzola.
Geula.
Yeah. There's no shortage of names to show the big thing that they did. So the answer is, says Rav Kahn, to teach us that when a person does something in the Shem Shemayim and they involve the Ribbono Shel Olam in their actions, the Ribbono Shel Olam rewards every little thing, because every little thing that a person does, he now realizes, or she realizes, is not their own koyachos, it's all from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam rewards each and every detail, not just the big picture of the Tevata Chayeno, but the Shifron Pua, the even the small details are also, because once you bring the Ribbono Shel Olam into the equation, there's nothing big and there's nothing small. There's only big and small in comparison to a human being, something which is bigger than me or smaller than me. When it comes to Ribbono Shel Olam, everything's the same size. The Ribbono Shel Olam is unlimited. So maybe there's no big action, there's no small action. And the Shifron Pua is as magnificent before the Ribbono Shel Olam as the Vata Chayema. It's all the same, because you're doing it with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're doing it the Shem Shemayim. And the Nachlas Eliezer finishes off very beautifully. It brings the Pasuk in Kehelet right at the very end. Soif Dova Hakol Nishma Es Olekim Yira Ves Mitzvois of Shemor Kizeh Kol HaAdam. Because the more a person, Kizeh Kol HaAdam, the ganze mensch, the whole person, the more you would bring the Ribbono Shel Olam into our actions, into our daily deeds, however big, however small, that actually makes us. And I'm just reminded, Rav Ron Twersky brought out one sefer called Naaseh Adam, Let Us Make Man. And in the title, there is a Devar Torah. Naaseh Adam, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Adam, Naaseh Adam, you and me, you Adam, and me, the Ribbono Shel Olam, can make you. Yeah, the more we bring the Ribbono Shel Olam into our lives, the more we become the Adam that Hashem wants us to be. Just moving on very quickly, Doma ben Nesina, the very famous Gemara. It's interesting, here's a goy who was willing to sacrifice millions and thousands, 800,000, the Gemara says, he could have become a millionaire. And the Gemara says, that is a dogma of Kibadav. But the Gemara says, the Omer Rab Chanina, the Gemara ends off, Uma mi she'ena metzuva v'oisa kach, metzuva v'oisa al achas kama v'kama. We have to do mitzvahs not like him. He did it because he felt good at the time. Perhaps on another day he wouldn't have behaved so nicely, and we'll see later on in the Gemara that he actually regretted, because when it came for the paradum, he says, just give me the money, shehistadati, which I lost, because he already had a bit of charata. But if a person acts with Shem Shemayim, then it gives him consistency. He'll always do the right thing, not because it depends on the mood, because that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants him to do, because he does it in the Shem Shemayim. So we've discussed till now the inyan of Siyata Dishmaya and acting in the Shem Shemayim in those things which we know we can accomplish, or we're reasonably sure, and in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, that it actually helped him to raise his horizons to accomplish those things he didn't even think he could. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, if I'm helping you, then even the seemingly impossible can become possible. I would like to finish off, not to the drosha, but to bring it to a conclusion, not to give anybody false hopes too soon, that and it's a wonderful pshat which I saw in the Sefer on Tefillah written by Rabbi Victor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, called Halali Nashi. And he says that a person can ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to accomplish those things which are physically impossible, it's humanly impossible. But nevertheless, if a person uses Tefillah correctly, a person can be rewarded for wanting to accomplish the impossible. We're not talking about what Moshe Rabbeinu thought he couldn't, but actually he could. We're talking about those things which you haven't got any chance to accomplish. No way. And he said, if a person stands, let's say, in Shemona Esra, and he calls upon the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, we take the Siddur, Somech Noitlim, Roitei Choylim, Matir Asurim, Mekayim Emunoto Lishene Afar, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'd love to help every poor person. But I can't. I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I don't have the kochos. I'd like to be Roitei Choylim, I would like to heal every ill person in Klal Yisrael, but A, I'm not a doctor, and even if I would, who said I can't get around? It's I can't achieve all these things. But you, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're the Balei Choyles Kula, you can accomplish everything. I ask you, Ribbono Shel Olam, be my Shaliach, and please heal the Choylim, be Matir Asurim, be Mekayme Munos Alishene Ofar, bring the Gula, bring Mashiach, Boine Yerushalayim, all the universal, all the world things which Klal Yisrael, the suffering. Please, Rabbi Shalom, you can do this all. And says Rabbi Victor Miller, if a person sincerely calls upon Rabbi Shalom to help him to fulfill these things, then when Rabbi Shalom will fulfill in the short term all the things we need, the refuahs, etc., but in the longer term, it shouldn't be too long, the geula, etc., it will all be in your zechus, because you asked Ribbono Shel Olam to call, you called upon him to help you. And he brings the Gemara, which we all know so well, and he says, because the Gemara says in Brochus, Amar Ravashi, Chishav Adam la'asos mitzvah, the person wants to do a mitzvah, the ne'enas, and he is unable to, he's prevented. The lo'y asor, ma'le olav ha'kosov kilo asor. Yeah, you're prevented from doing so for some reason. Now we always think, whenever you ask anybody, what mitzvah can you think of which fits that particular, you want to do a mitzvah, you can't. So it's to help the proverbial old lady across the proverbial road, and there's too much traffic, and you want to go to, you visit somebody, and the car breaks down, and etc. Something got in the way. Then machshava kamaisa. And that's true, that certainly applies. But Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zichron Rocha puts it much on a totally different scale. The ne'enas, not the things that you can accomplish. Ne'enas on the things you can't accomplish. So, for example, imagine that you'd like to be the Kohen Gadol. Yeah? So, even if we are Kohenim, who says we'll be Roy to be the Kohen Gadol? And I'm not a Kohen. But the fact is, you can say the Pasuk, Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha, and you can imagine. Yeah, you can imagine you're standing in the Beit HaMikdash and you're benching down the Klal Yisrael. And you say, Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha, please Ribbono Shel Olam, I can't be the Kohen Gadol, but please, this bracha of Yivarech Hashem, whichever ye can say, you spread it round the world on my part, on my behalf, so to speak, that the Birkas Kohenim should be Mekuyam. This is accomplishing something which you thought you never could accomplish, but you're asking the Ribbono Shel Olam to help you. And I'm just giving another example. Let's say you're aware there's somebody hasn't got parnos and you can't help them, but you definitely bunch, I can't help this man, I'm not able to, but you, Ribbono Shel Olam, you can give parnos. Or you're aware that someone has got shalom bayis difficulties. It's very hard to knock on the door when the pots and pans are flying in all directions and say, can I be of any help here? And she says, yes, buy me some more pots and pans. Yeah, but you can daven. A person who davens through Ribbono Shel Olam, Yehi Shalom Becheilech. We can hear the knocks and bangs coming from next door across the road. Yeah, Shalva Manasayich. We can daven through Ribbono Shel Olam. You, Ribbono Shel Olam, can you please bring peace into that household? And the truth is, what you see, Chweis Friar Kinderlach, or someone's not doing the right thing, you can daven to Ribbono Shel Olam. Nidchei Amo Yisrael. We can daven, we can call upon Ribbono Shel Olam to accomplish those global things which are beyond my ability to accomplish. So I have to finish off, so we'll give a little quick summary, even though it's winter. And we said that through the matter of Moshe, that we see that a person we shouldn't take for granted those things which we think we can accomplish, because the MS, everything is beyond our ability. And but calling it, we can ask Rav Hashem to help us in those things which we're afraid of something, whether to learn this or to do that or whatever. The Rav Hashem will give a person koyches if he we ask Rav Hashem to help us. And from Rav Zimmerman Zichron Livracha, we learn that a person can accomplish and be rewarded. As the Pasuk says later, Lo me'ever layam, lo bashamayim. There's nothing too far, too high, too far away. You just have to ask, and it's everything which is in Shemayim and everything which is Eivel Hayom also becomes yours. I'd like to finish with the bracha that we say in Tehillim, in Hallel, Min Hameitza Karosika Anoni Banech Avya. I call to you, Ribbono Shel'olam, from my confinement, from my physical restrictions. Anoni Banech Avya, please, Ribbono Shel'olam, help me with your unlimited koyches. So bispazeh, that we recognize our limitations in whether it's a personal or klal or the universal things, as we said, that the Rebbe Shem should give us the koyches to accomplish all in every aspect, and may the Rebbe Shem grant us his unlimited siyata d'shmaya in every aspect of our lives, beruchnis of the gashmias, to yeshuas, refuas, nechomas, besuras toivas, lanu l'chol yisrael, amen.